Greetings, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, also simulcasted on eSETI Stargate, and we're on Rumble and a few other medias out there, so check it out. It's all listed on the site. There's so much going on, I don't even know where to start, and if I did eSETI News, we would be on the show forever, but check out our newsletter. We have all the information there. We're trying to keep away from the info because we get taken off the air as soon as we do. So all that is in the newsletters. We had to change our newsletter over to a different carrier because of that, but we have a new carrier now and we can talk about it. So that and Rumble and Telegram is all covering that information. So anyway, without any further ado, I want to get with the show here. And we've got Megan coming on this show, and she's a psychic medium, a multidimensional remote viewer located in South Florida. Her connection to spirit began at a young age and has flourished into helping others make a connection to spirit guides and our past loved ones. And she does not use tools of any kind, is committed to giving an authentic and healing experience to each client. Spiritually is natural to everyone, and Megan is committed to assisting others in making their own personal connection in a unique way. Sometimes we get too busy to hear the little messages that are left for us, and though connecting in a reading, we get the guidance and support we need to move forward in life. A strong believer in truth and authenticity, she knows spirit may not always tell us what we want to hear, but what we need to hear in order to move forward on our journey. Megan has the ability to remote view and has used this ability to assist in missing person cases, missing items, and channel multidimensional information. As a person who has contact with higher dimensional beings, Megan has publicly been bringing their messages to light on various platforms to inspire humankind. It is her intention to assist others through love and healing with information relayed from above. So without any further ado, Megan Rose, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I forgot how long my bio was.
Yeah. I usually shorten them, but this time, because the last show, I kind of cut them short because we had so much information. I'd do the whole bio. But anyway, welcome to the show. And, there's so many ways we can go in here. Let's give just a brief overview of what started your journey into this, the world of spirit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think since I was a kid, I kind of had contact with souls that had crossed over, past loved ones and spirits like that. A lot of the entities too that need healing are the disincarnate spirits too also came to me. So like as a kid, it was kind of like the sixth sense, you know, that movie. Yeah. But I also was abducted when I was younger too, at ages 5 and 9. And those memories were erased. So I had contact with malevolent and benevolent extraterrestrials. And, luckily when I was abducted, I was rescued by the Galactic Federation. So, you know, I was allowed to have those memories back and regain those memories. And good times on planet Earth. Yeah. You know?
I'm wondering about that. It's kind of interesting. I've known that in counseling work and over the past years, we've seen over and over that a lot of light workers, especially the ones that really came in from high incarnations here to do some major work, got really screwed with. And it's usually between 3 and 7. And they got messed with the malevolent ETs. I mean, I had that happen to me too, as well. And the same thing happened. The Palladians stepped in and put an end to it. And I don't have all the details. I haven't even looked at it. I just kind of know the outline. One of these days I will, but I'm not sure if I want to, you know. I'm sure it's not a fun ticket, but I should just get it over with and look into it. But but it's kind of a reoccurring theme over and over again. We've seen like people that are incarnating from the 6th and 7th dimensions and things like that. They're real powerhouses and they really got screwed with at a very young age.
Yeah, because they're looking for a power source, you know, and it also has to do with the DNA or whatever DNA you come in with too. They want to use that for experimentation. they're really big. The malevolent ones are really big into making hybrid armies and stuff like that. And at 9 years old, I was abducted by reptilians and they were going to weaponize me into a super soldier because my DNA, it's I obviously have psychic abilities or strong psychic abilities. So that was kind of they were attracted to that. But yeah, they've really targeted the light workers, the starseed children, children from off planet. And because too, we all came here, some of us came here on a mission to serve, and they also want to intercept that and use us against each other. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Those with really strong emotions and those with the abilities like clairvoyancy or clairsentience or clairaudient, those people seem to be the ones that get abducted most. And I know they, for various reasons, and I know they really like to shut you down and not let you go into those gifts or to stop you out of fear from going into those gifts, because that's where they do their dirty work. So you just close that window out. And then usually something happens later on in life that opens that back up again, or because I noticed so many of us when we were kids, we had all those abilities. We could feel, see things. We knew when people were lying. We knew everything. You know, we were telepathic, and we could feel, you know, the nature of people, feel their intentions. And we seem to have that knocked out of us through social media and school and everything else.
Yeah, I would definitely relate to that. And that was kind of the case with me. After my second abduction, then I totally, completely shut down like my psychic abilities. And then maybe about 2 years ago in 2019, when I was taken aboard a ship, they gave me my memories back and explained, remember, you incarnated onto the slave planet. And so, yeah, that's when I started to open up again, and that kind of triggered my dark night of the soul and some healing. But it's important to note too, they're also interested in the soul, because the humans most humans have individual unique souls, and the grays and the reptilians, they operate on a hive consciousness. So they're also interested in the ability for the soul to plug into source and use the energy from source, because they're not able to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a little chuckle there. I was laughing with you, not at you, but because I had the same thing that happened with me. I was actually in the bathtub meditating, and I said, I don't care, you know, what happens. I don't care if it kills me. I need to know what's going on. What is my connection to this? What's my mission here? What, if anything, you know, I really need to know. And next thing you know, this beam hits me right in the chest, and three gold balls came down the beam. And with them were all my memories, everything that I've ever been, off world, everything, full memory. And then they pulled me out of the body up on a ship. It was a six-dimensional ship, and had a conversation with me and told me I had to go back because I couldn't stay. It would be too hard for me to adjust back to the frequency of Earth. And they left a big red mark, and I have pictures of it in the middle of my chest. And it looks like a radiation burn, but it's not. It's just the interface between this dimension and that dimension. It's a much higher frequency, so it creates a little trauma. But it's kind of interesting. But Malia with the Orion Council of Light was the one that pulled me up on the ship, and she talked to me about, you know, what was going on, the wars in Orion, how some of them transcended that, and now they're helping Earth, you know, to come and mm-hmm. you know, covered all that information. And so it's kind of interesting, but it's you hear these same stories and just different variants of it, but
yeah, they have the same theme. Were you upset when they beamed you back?
You know what? I'll tell you what's really funny is that one of the first things people ask me, I don't know why, is were you naked, you know? Oh. And I go, I was in a bathtub, you know? It's like, of course. I said, but you know what? I wasn't physical. It didn't matter. I was more of a light.
Your light body.
And I said, I don't know. I'm not sure. I was naked when I went up and naked when I came back. I don't know if I manifested some kind of a garment or something in between, but
Yeah.
That's small stuff, you know? It's like, who cares? You know, it's like, you don't even think about it. But I think the first near-death experience where I drowned and went through the tunnel and went into the plane of bliss, that one I had really trouble adjusting to.
Yeah.
Even the physical world kept phasing out and going back and forth. The ground I was walking with, I'd have to stop and ground, you know, because things were turning into these little golden balls of light and then back to physical. And it was really freaking me out. And I could see everything. I could, you know, somebody would say one thing, they'd think something and feel something else. And I got all three inputs at the same time. So it was, I had to go live in the Redwoods for a while in a tent just to deal with and readjust to being back on Earth.
That's so interesting. Yeah, they can take you two ways, from the light body or like an actual physical abduction.
Yeah.
But I know like the frequency on a ship is so much different. It's like, if it's a benevolent ship, everything's in sync and in flow, like with your natural energy. And then when you come back down here, it's like, if you notice how negative, like the electronics, they emit a negative frequency, it almost like hurts your body. But I know, I remember when they took me in 2019, I was like, no, I don't want to go back. Don't leave me. So, but if you get too upset, they won't take you as often, you know, because it's hard to go back and forth. But that's interesting. I wonder, it sounds like you weren't so like it just opened up a complete door in your mind, and then you could see.
Yeah. Well, what I did was, that's where I went on the journey to build this place here, the sanctuary here, because I said, you know, I'm going to create a really high frequency place where I can be at home with, and other people of like mind can come and feel welcome and, you know, expand. And it's okay to talk about these things and share and everything else, which I did. You know, I had two choices, either I just become an alien and alienate myself and go live in the forest, which is kind of what I wanted to do, or I could just turn everybody else into an alien, you know, and in a good way, and gather together, you know.
But I forget too. I was talking to one of my old friends from high school, and I forget too that people don't believe in aliens, or that this is like so normal to me. Because I remember she was talking to me and she's like, aliens are real and spirits and stuff. Some people don't even believe in ghosts. I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot.
Yeah, I do that too because I live in a different world here, and most people here are very awake. They're very loving and kind and service oriented and everything else. And then when I go into the other world, it's just like, oh my God, you know, and I forget how, you know, and everybody's like virtue signaling and trying to force you to wear things and freaking out and fear and everything else. And there's just no logic or science to what they're doing. It's insane. It's pure insanity, but
I'm totally disconnected. I don't live in the middle of the woods, but I'm totally disconnected from all the mainstream stuff. The only way I know if people are more afraid or not, because you can stop watching mainstream media, but you still have to disconnect yourself from the social consciousness, from the hive mentality that the grays and the reptilians have instilled in the human race. That's important. But the only way I know if people are in fear really is if I go to the grocery store, and if anyone's, you know, wearing certain things, I can tell. something was broadcasted, you know.
Yeah, I use that same thing as an indicator. You know, it's like, but I think it's a lot more lax in Florida. You know, here we've got a Nazi governor, and Portland too, and we're right on the border of Oregon and Washington. But they're about ready to be taken to task for what they're doing. But anyway, going back to the ET stuff. What kind of races have you experienced up there? And maybe you can give us a little breakdown of some of the beings you've experienced and their intentions, like towards humanity, you might say.
Most of the Galactic Federation, their military force, like the pilots, are from the Pleiades or Pleiadian race, tall Nordic aliens, blonde hair and blue eyes, and they have really large eyes. There's other beings from Orion that I've had contact with, like the Orion Council of Light, there's a group of them that have separated from the other beings in Orion and overcame and are like federated together and overcoming those species, the negative grays. And those are, some of them are grays that are mixed with mammal genetics that are very, very high dimensional or high density, extremely loving. And there's also a group from Orion too that are participating in benevolent abductions, and they also are helping us transform our DNA or evolve our DNA in a positive way, because our most civilizations can do that for themselves, master their genetics, but the human race hasn't been able to do that. So I know there's beings from Orion, the ones who are mixed with mammal genetics. Some of them have brown skin and like indigo type eyes, very beautiful. And they actually help create some of the vessels for the star seeds to incarnate into, because the soul has to be, the soul is of a higher frequency. So the DNA has to be modified for them to be able to incarnate.
Yeah, I have talked sometimes with, I had like 17 ministers come here one day and try to exercise me or something. I don't know what they're doing, but a couple of them were not ministers. They were actually sheriffs and trying to find things, because there's all kinds of rumors going around which weren't true. But long story short, you know, I started, had a long talk with them. We were talking about the Bible, and I said, everything we're doing here is in the Bible. And I started quoting all the things and reincarnation and the, you know, the omnipresent God, the creator within all creation, and where, you know, Jesus said, ye are all gods, children of the Most High. I went through all the stuff in there in the Bible and showed them where it was and everything. And afterwards they go, you know, we're going to go home and read a bit and we'll be back. You know, they didn't come back.
Oh my gosh. But, good for you.
Yeah. It was pretty funny though, watching it, but a lot of them, I've been talking to them more about the truth about Jesus. And it, and I said, you know, I'm not here to take Jesus away from you. I'm here to elaborate on it. It's even more outrageous than you can imagine that you've been told. And I said, the creator is not a little old man with a beard and a laptop taking notes and with a lightning rod in the other hand. I said, you know, and I said, I'm going to ask you one question. I said, if there's an Old Testament God, which was a jealous, wrathful God, you know, he was a genocidal maniac, basically. It's undeniable. Yeah. And then the New Testament, Jesus says, I bring to you a new covenant of an all-loving, all-forgiving God. And what happened is he knew that God didn't have an ego. It wasn't a male. It wasn't a female. It was pure consciousness and energy. And its most unlimited form is just pure, unconditional love and joy and bliss, you know? Yeah. He understood that. And that's the new image. And he's trying to get rid of the old image of this tyrant that passed himself as Alpha's God in the past. And so I was explaining this to him. How can you have a jealous, wrathful, genocidal maniac and an all-loving, all-forgiving God as the same being?
Yes, and, two different people.
Yeah. And some really got it and went, wait a second, there must have been two different gods here. And I said, bingo. And the others say, well, God can do whatever he wants. And I said, well, not necessarily. You know, we have to go by the rules we establish. If we establish rules, we have to go by them, or we lose all credibility, you know? And so it was really funny. And so I would take them step by step. And then I told him, I said, okay, here's another question. If Mary was pregnant with a child and Joseph said, I didn't know her, I didn't lay with her, that's not my child. And this Archangel Gabriel shows up and says, this is our child, this is God's child, you're going to rear him as your own. He said, yes, sir. You know, okay, right? So I go, was Gabriel terrestrial?
Right.
You should see the wheels spinning, you know? And I said, so really in truth, Jesus's dad was extraterrestrial, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll talk about frying some brain synapses on that one. And then I go, so, I mean, just by the word, by what's written, it's obvious. But I said, let's go a step further. And I said, Mary had ancient Lyrian genetics. She had very pure genetics. And actually, Gabriel was an Andromedan, a very high Andromedan being. Mm-hmm. And so they use his genetics to add to Marion's genetics to create the
vessel.
The vessel that Jesus could incarnate, because he would have burned out the synapses of any other vehicle. And so what you're saying is the exact same thing, just in a little different terminology, is that
yes,
there's been a lot of vessels created down here to house some very powerful beings for this time. And I love that saying where they said creator's given its best for these times. And those are beings that have incarnated for these times to get us through this shift.
Wow, I can't believe you said all that to the Ben that knocked on your door. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But it's true though, like, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, he wants to be your friend, not your Lord, you know, that's right in the Bible. That's there.
Yeah.
And there's definitely an ET connection if you read it closely. But that's funny.
I have a picture of the laughing Jesus where his head's just reared back and he's laughing, you know?
Yeah.
And well, what would you do if Jesus appeared to you right now? I'd high five him, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? You know, like any advice, you know, that's the first thing I'd say is, hey, how can I do things better? You know,
this is my personal belief and people might disagree with me. However, I don't believe him to be crucified. I don't think he had to be crucified. I think that the cabal or whoever might have written that part in there, the part of human sacrifice, but that's just my
personal
opinion, you know.
Well, there's a lot of evidence both ways, you know, and so here's what I believe. I believe that we've had time travel capabilities for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you can go back in time and implant any evidence you want to create a different story.
That's
true. And that creates a whole different timeline and everything else. And these temporal wars, that's what's been going on. They've been doing that. And it's like that mandala effect where...
Yes.
Yeah, where you go, wait, I know, I remember it this way, but it wasn't, you know, and you're going, no, it was this way. And they're going, no. And it's the same thing. So I've learned... There's two things I've learned. One is imagination is real on the level of imagination. So everything is possible. And the other thing is everything is changing and it can be changed. Even the timelines can be changed and the information can be changed. So I've just learned not to attach to anything, you know.
That's a good point. I do know recently, maybe like last year, they've been trying really hard to timeline jump and change the timelines. But I know from my friends upstairs that we're finally on the good, stable timeline where things are going to work out. So, but yeah, lots of different races and species do that and change events and stuff like that. They do it using, it's extraterrestrial math, and I'm really not good at math anyways, but it's a mathematical equation that marks energy frequencies, and they rearrange the energy frequencies using math to rearrange and change the timelines that they want to use. So, yeah.
You know, you could go back in time, let's say, and you could take a metal tablet and print out a whole different story and go into a cave and bury it. And then later on you go, Hey, have some kid say, hey, there's a cave up there and there's a pot in the left-hand corner in the back, go back and grab that and then take it to your leaders, you know?
Yeah. Is that how we got the commandments?
Yeah. Well, you really think about the Ten Commandments. I mean, how hard would that be to take a laser and burn it into a stone tablet or even create a tablet and then burn it into it? But which brings us to another one. Now, here's another mind blower is you can take a laser and shoot it through a salamander gene into a frog egg from a salamander egg, and that frog will become a salamander. So you can transfer DNA through light.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can transfer DNA through light, how hard would it be for an advanced race to change your DNA while you're in the womb or wherever, you know, the same thing. They could alter your DNA that way.
It's a quantum technology where it's sound, light, but it also, each strand of DNA has a magnetic polarity. So they use it, the frequency identifies it, and then it rearranges it using magnets.
Yeah.
So like how I was explained the MedBed technology, it's very similar to what you're talking about. It sounds like the same thing almost.
Yeah, definitely. I know that DNA is always communicating. And and basically the bottom line, it's a code. And the next two questions people need to ask is who wrote the code and can it be rewritten? And so somebody with some very wise abilities and spiritual science, whatever you want to call it, wrote those codes a long time ago. J.J. Hertak talks about it in the Keys of Enoch and things like that. They actually wrote those codes for the light body that dropped down in to become the physical body. But the you really think about it, so if these beings are that advanced, they can rewrite your code. And maybe that's what these med beds are doing, is that they're grabbing your DNA signature from in time from an earlier age and then rewriting, repairing it or doing whatever. I mean, there's so many different ways they could work.
Yeah. And then I wonder if that changes time, because that's a sequence in itself too. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it's kind of interesting because it would still be there. They just get the information and then they transfer the information to the body in this timeline. So I mean, there's so many different ways you could do it. Or just take the master code, you know, what does it mean to be a whole and healthy human, you know, a young, vibrant, whole and healthy human. Okay. You have that code and just transfer that code, you know, into the body. And there are technologies that are doing that they are taking, you know, the frequencies of a very young, vibrant person. And then they're sending those frequencies to another person. It's actually creating a lot of healing. You know, they have different names for it. It's like scalar or radionics or things like that. But there are technologies now where they're learning how to do that.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard of scalar waves and stuff like that. Plus there's two, I know that the Galactic Federation blasts like high frequencies too to annoy the bad guys.
Yeah.
So that, which I like to think about that.
Yeah, me too.
But it's could be the same thing too. Blasting high frequencies will activate part of your DNA as well. So
yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, definitely. They've told me a lot about that, how they're setting up grids and nets and they're really making sure that now the bad guys aren't going anywhere. They've got them sealed off. And they are just blasting the earth now with these higher frequencies. And, you know, and if people go, oh, that's poppycock, you know, that's airy-fairy stuff. Well, look at the Schumann resonance, you know. It's like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's off the scale. The electromagnetic light spectrum has more bands in it now. It's off the scale. You know, the suns are going ballistic and they're all connected to a central sun, which is the main order for this galaxy. But, you know, it's kind of when you understand the big picture, it's all possible and feasible. And then you can see it actually manifesting in the physical.
Yeah, I mean, on planet Earth, our science, like we've only had like the cabal science. So we kind of were taught or trained backwards of how things actually are. Because the stuff that we're kind of talking about is more simple, like basic science of the universe, you know, versus they complicate things down here, you know.
I saw
a meme the other day and it was Morpheus from The Matrix. And he said, what if I told you questioning science is science? And I'm like, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to a guy and once. And he goes, I don't understand any of this quantum physics stuff. And I go, it's all about frequency, garbage in, garbage out. You know, it's really simple. And you raise your frequency by healing the wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. The more you dump those, your frequency goes up. Your body has to adjust to the new frequency. And that's the ascension process. But everything goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass.
Yeah.
And so when you raise the frequency of mass, which is what is happening right now, it's moving more into an energy body. And that's where we're going. And then next we'll be going into a light body. And then we go into pure consciousness and energy and, you know, just become a Merkaba or an orb or something, you know, on that level.
That'd be nice. It's important to note too, that the ascension process or the dark night of the soul or whatever, it kind of feels like you're dying. Like,
yeah.
Which is, I don't know if it happened faster for you because you had a near-death experience, if it was quicker, you know? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I've had several. What's really weird, I mean, I feel like I'm going through one right now. You know, it's like my body's trying to catch up to the new frequencies again. But
yeah, me too.
You know, I just surrender. I just go, okay. You know, so what if I died? Been there, done that. It was awesome. You know, it's like, and I let it go. Next morning, I wake up and I'm fine. You know, and it's just go, okay. And so it's just the fear. We just need to lose the fear and let the body go through its adjustments and you know, take care of the body. You know, drink pure water. You know, get some oxygen water. This is really good for you. You know, eat food really close to the earth. Eat lighter. You know, lighter food. Just, you know, do your practices. Get out in nature. Meditate. You know, take your shoes off. Reconnect with the earth and the new frequencies. You know, it's just basics that we have to, you know, we have to do our part as part of the ascension process. It's not, you know, it's what's the first law of miracles. You got to do everything on your side to make it happen. And then spirit takes care of the rest.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of good things happening and, you know, the good ETs are helping us, but we still have to take responsibility for ourselves, for our own energy. It's our job to transform it. Otherwise, what's going to happen is because they're blasting the earth with all these high frequencies, it's just going to be magnified and it's going to be more of like your own personal hell until you finally decide, like, I'm my own problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, until you get sick of yourself.
Yeah, I was saying over and over with the frequencies going on. I mean, we have that happen here because the frequencies are really high here at the ranch. And so people come on the ranch. And the first thing they say is, God, I love it here. I'm home. You know, it's just, this feels like the Pleiades or things like that. You know, they feel this wonderful energy and they go, oh, I just want to stay here. I just want to stay here. And I said, well, wait 3 days. And they go, what do you mean? And I go, well, all that love and joy and bliss you're feeling, that high frequency, I said, it's going to bring up all the other stuff. And so, and you're going to have a golden opportunity to either heal or you can project and blame. And very, you know, I think it's about 50-50, half the people own it and go, yeah, this is my stuff. And lately it's getting more so with the energies that the projection and blame was just crazy. And then that's kind of coming to an end now. We have far fewer of those incidences happening right now. And I think people are waking up to the fact that, you know, the one finger pointing is three fingers back, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's
not a good pattern anymore.
No. I always tell, I mean, a long time ago when I was in Santa Cruz, California, I was down there and I gave them the exact dates of that major earthquake that hit and some other things after that. And they got really angry at me and they go, you're creating it. You know, if you tell all these people, you're going to create fear and then they're going to manifest it and everything else. And I go, God, thank you for all the power you're giving me. You know, it's just like, I can create an earthquake, you know, like this. And I said, look, I said, if you really think you're that powerful and if you really believe in that, why don't you get a group together and start manifesting on healing that and changing the outcome? Because I'm not creating the event. I'm just seeing the event and you can change the outcome of that event. So, you know, rather than demonize me and make me the problem and, oh God. And when it hit, nobody apologized when the earthquake hit. They didn't say, yeah, we're sorry. You know, we shouldn't. Yeah, you were right. You know, it's like, and I go, well, what was I supposed to do? I see it. I have a vision of it. They tell me exactly when it's going to happen. Am I supposed to just shut up and not tell my friends and family and people? I know. Yeah. I said, come on. You know, it's just like, yeah, a lot of the new age stuff too is another psyop and people need to realize that. It's, you know, they say if you see evil or if you talk about evil, it's within you and this and that and everything else. And I said, well, I think evil is here before I was born and it's going to be here after I die. And it exists in and of its own, you know, and it is a force. And we need to recognize it or we're living a half-truth, you know, we're.
Yeah. Well, it's the law of the universe. You can't have one without the other. But, mm-hmm. And there is, you know, if you're projecting, you have to take responsibility for that. But, you know, if you if you see someone commit a crime or you know someone to be a pedophile, does that make you a pedophile for identifying the energy? You know, no.
That's
the point. Yeah. So it's like this whole spiritual gaslighting too. And also, you know, you have to be tough to make it down here too. You know, you did, I have watched one of your videos and you said something about Pleiadians, how they get beat up down here. Can you, repeat what it is? Because I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true.
Well, what happens when they incarnate down here, they come from a civilization that is very advanced, and they can't even comprehend somebody lying or stealing or harming another or taking from another. It's not the reality. It's not part of the reality. So they come down and they just get beat up, and they have to get kind of street savvy down here. Now, the Orion beings that come in from the Orion Council of Light and those guys, they've gone through the Orion Wars. They're very street savvy. They recognize the dark and the evil. And so a lot of people have had different incarnations. A lot of them have, like, I'd have lifetimes in the Pleiades and the Orion system and the Sirian system and all those other ones. And I have full memory of it, but it's balanced me out. And so, I mean, while I would love to be in that loving, joyous, I mean, Pleiadians are great to hang out with. They're really loving, you know, they're caring, they're giving, you know, and everything else. But you got to protect him. You know, you have to explain to him, look, this guy has a different agenda and you might want to look into this.
When I heard you say that, I was like, oh my gosh, he's talking about me.
Yeah.
But I have other, you know, I have other beings from Orion that have helped me out. So yeah, that's something that I learned. Like, it's okay to say, you know, no, F you, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole love and light perspective, or that you're supposed to be nice to everyone or kind to everyone. That's just, I mean, you should be, but when people are attacking you, there's such a thing as boundaries and disconnecting from that energy, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I tell people too, the power of forgiveness, people have no idea how that works. And, and forgiveness is actually a weapon if you understand it.
Right.
And so whenever you totally forgive somebody, that energy leaves your field, energized, goes back to them, and they're going to create an experience around that with somebody else, some other person, place, or thing, to get the wisdom from that experience. And so, I mean, you shouldn't use it that way. You should just forgive for your own soul evolution. But it really does work. And when you totally forgive somebody and you totally release it and let go of that, it not only frees you and lightens your load, it also is going to give them the lesson they need. They're going to create that through someone else or some other person, place, or thing.
Right. Yeah, forgive, but you don't have to stay in the relationship or continue to let that person, you know, harm you.
Well, they say when you totally forgive, the wisdom settles in the soul and you lose the charge. And so you maintain the wisdom. You go, well, now I know what I don't want.
Yeah.
And you gain the wisdom from that experience and then you move on. And they say, like a good example, like the Pleiadians, they come down here and they have all these experiences and, you know, and then they have to gain the wisdom from them and then release it and let go and move on. And it's really hard for them because it's, first of all, it's hard to gain the wisdom from because they can't even comprehend that people would do that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so far out of their mindset that they just go, what? You know, what?
I mean, gosh, it's so true.
Yeah. And I see things sometimes and I just go, it blows me away. I saw something, how can I get into this without not getting into it? I'll get into trouble. But I saw a woman on TV and she said that because my husband and I have gotten double, you know, is that now we have 251 times more of the thing in us and spreading it. And because of that, now we have to do our children, you know. And I go, oh my God, I can't. And this is on mainstream TV. And I'm going, okay, it didn't work for you.
Right.
And it did extreme harm to you. And now for your child's safety, you're going to do the same thing to them. You know what I mean? And I'm just going, what? what's happening down here? You're like, where's the critical thinking? You know, where's the, you know, people are critically thinking and research impaired. I've never seen anything like it. And to a lot of us, it's so obvious, but you get a lot of the masses, they've been so brainwashed and they're so controlled through social consciousness and the media and everything else. They can't use base logic anymore. It's gone.
Yeah. That's part of too. I think it's part of the fear programming too, because when you're so afraid, like you can't even think straight and you just, you know, you just act crazy and do whatever. Complete critical thinking goes completely out the window.
Yeah. And they use shame and guilt and fear for your children and everything to manipulate you into doing what they want. And until you understand the game that they're playing and how they're profiting from it and what the end game is, until you understand the end game, you'll never figure this one out. And you know, people need to realize there's a war going on. It's a temporal war. It's multidimensional. And I say it's a war between God and evil, you know, good and evil, you can say, or God and evil or creator. And, you know, because there are certain beings down here and that have created an allegiance to some other unseen forces that are at war with creation, all of creation.
Right. The malevolent ETs, they work a lot. The lower astral entities and the beings involved with malevolent witchcraft and stuff like that, they're tied to the malevolent ETs, who are actually tied to the Vatican. Yeah. And even the royal reptilians, they have wings and they have horns and they have tails, and they look a lot like a picture of the devil if you put them next to each other. So it's interesting, you know.
You know, I always ask myself, why do they have statues with Michael standing on a serpent with his spear or a sword, right? Why do the old statues have Mary with her foot on a serpent?
Yeah.
You know, holding the serpent down. There's a reason for that. And they understood the big picture back then. It's been kind of shamed out of us through giggle factors and guilt, and that's superstition and things like that. But in the olden days, they did know the big picture, what was really going on. They did know there was a battle between certain forces, unseen negative influences, things like that. I mean, even the Egyptians wrote it on their temple walls. They showed the different levels.
Yeah.
You know, they showed humanity, and then they show above humanity are these like creepy, crawly guys that are below humanity, trying to pull them down and do things. They look like greys and demons and things like that. And then they say above humanity is the more enlightened beings, you know, and then the gods are above that. And they show the different levels, and they taught that. And they taught people how to avoid the negative side of things and how to align yourself with the more positive and the more spiritual side. We've dismissed all that as superstition now.
It's even like that picture, I think Michelangelo painted it with it's purgatory, with you have all of the people in the middle, and then you have the angels holding people's hands, and then you have the demons trying to drag people down. It's basically the same thing in ancient Egypt.
Yeah, and it's all about free will and choice, you know, and that's what I'm seeing right now. A lot of people are choosing to align themselves with the power and the wealth and the notoriety and selling their souls, and that's the guys pulling you down. Versus, you know, shifting into service to others and being loving and generous and compassionate and having empathy and the higher qualities.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Yeah. It just blows me away to see the lack of empathy and the lack of compassion and now they've taken it to the ultimate level, which is the ultimate slap in the face to Creator, is the children. Now they're involved doing it to the children, and that is the last straw. I mean, that even Jesus said that, you know, what you do to one of these, you do to Creator. Basically, he said, "Do not harm the children."
Yeah,
and you know, people don't understand that. And I said, you know, you have to understand how evil thinks, and they, in their decline or their downward spiral into decadence, whatever, they're doing little things, more evil things, more evil things, more. And they get to the bottom, and the ultimate slap in the face to Creator is harming the children.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at right now. They're at the bottom of the downward spiral, and so that's the last straw. You know, that's going to be their demise.
Yeah, it's all over. And then you'll see the rise of the divine feminine come in and take care of the children. I could think of so many things to say in regards to current events, but I don't want you to get censored.
Yeah.
It has to do with this and this. And doing that to the children is, in my opinion, it's abuse, you know?
Yeah, child abuse. I agree. I mean, I said the thing, it's child abuse, it's child endangerment, and it's premeditated murder, if you know.
Yeah.
And it has to do with how far you carry it.
It has to do with, too, they're trying to change the DNA of the star children, of the kids, too, that were given special vessels to incarnate here.
Yeah.
You know, the bad guys are smart. They're trying to modify that DNA so that they can't reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm. If you know the big picture, you can see it. You know, there's two things. If you understand what the end goal is, and the agenda of the dark side, whatever you want to call them, the cabal, the deep state, the, you know, all these guys, Luciferians, satanics, you know, the end goal.
Losers.
Yeah, exactly. When you understand their agenda and their end goal, you can see how all this plays into it.
Yeah.
All of it plays perfectly into that. But there's another goal going on. The end goal of Creator is ascension, you know, so there's the players on that side. They're doing all they can to assist. And, you know, I saw Mary. I've got beautiful pictures. I'll send them to you. I'll get your contact info and send them to you. But I have beautiful pictures of Mary manifesting here. Uh-huh. And when I was 5 years old, she actually saved me. I was dying in the hospital, and she came to me and pulled me through. And I wasn't Catholic, so I didn't know who she was, you know. She's not Catholic either. She's a universal being. But she's been with me all my life, and we've got beautiful photos of her manifesting here. And, you know, I was telling people, I was meditating one day, and I saw this vision of Mary came to me, and I looked, and she kind of had something behind her back, and she showed me, and it was like a bat. It was like, and it was just, she was showing me an image like Mary's back, the divine feminine's back, and it's got a bat, you know.
Oh, wow.
It means business, you know. And then she showed me that image while she was giving me this information about how the divine feminine is coming in, it's balancing things, it's coming in very strong, and that what's being done to the children is just off the scale, and it's not going to be tolerated in any way whatsoever. And she said that is going to be their downfall. You know,
Mother Mary, her energy reminds me kind of the Pleiadian energy a lot, actually. So,
you know, it's funny because her genetics were ancient Lyrian, and the Lyrian genetics, the ancient Lyrians went to the Pleiades and colonized the Pleiades. And from there, they actually went to the Pleiades, another place, the Orion system, and then Hades. And Hades was a really desolate planet. And so when they talk about Hades, you know, if you're a bad doobie, you're going to end up in Hades. You know, if you're useless, they send you there. And because it's a very desolate planet. So that's kind of where we tie Hades and hell into, you know, it's kind of funny when you look at the bigger picture, but her lineage is mainly Pleiadian. It's ancient Lyrian, and that energy is the divine feminine. They call it the Shekinah energy. And it has to do with some of the ancient Lyrians are beautiful beings. They're almost 9 feet tall. They have a little bit of a cone head, you know, and they're beautiful beings. And they continue to evolve. They didn't fall. Some of them fell here on Earth. They fell, and they got caught up in power struggles and turf wars and things like that. But the ones that continued, and they're returning now. But that's all part of the divine feminine. And what's really coming in strong too is the lionesses, the lion energy, And the lionesses are coming in. They are protective. They're very protective. And somebody that's under their protection, you don't want to mess with. You know, it can become have severe consequences, basically.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with a lioness.
No. They operate under universal law. They were with the ancient Anunnaki, some of those beings. At one time, they were the protectors of the gods. And when the gods fell, they said, look, we're leaving. We're going back. You're going against universal law. We can't continue with this. And they left. And people go, well, where's our record of the lion beings being here? And I said, it's all throughout India, you know, the Narsringa, Narissa, the protector of the gods of Lakshmi and everything else, Sekhmet and the Temple of Egypt. Every culture has references to these feline beings. And a lot of them are incarnating right now into human bodies right now to help with the shift. And they're being watched over by fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional felines. There's some that are humanoid cat beings. There's some that are more panther. They're about 12 to 14 foot tall, and they're upright, and they look more like a panther being. And the lion beings are like 17 feet tall. They're massive. Seventh dimensional. And those ones I call in when I'm having problems. I say, can you go have a talk with these guys?
When I was taken aboard in 2019, I did meet a more lion looking, she was a humanoid, but she had very cat-like blonde hair, blue eyes, but very cat-like features.
Yeah.
Yeah. But very strong divine feminine energy. Mm-hmm.
That was when I went up on one of the ships, I went out of body and ended up on a kind of a starship. It was like a galactic starship or something. And there was all kinds of beings on that ship, but I was looking at this beautiful blonde, you know, and she had her back to me. And I look over and I see her and I go, who's that? You know, and she jumps up and runs to me and just gives me this big hug. And I just melted. I just melted. And I didn't have a chance to realize that she wasn't totally human.
Yeah.
She was a feline. She was a feline. And I was one of them in a past life. So I had a past life connection with her. But it was like family, and it was the most loving energy I've experienced. It was just blew my mind. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but Bhagit's her name. You gotta meditate on her. Her name is Bhagit. You know, she's got beautiful energy, but she watches over a lot here. Just about 2 weeks ago, my nephew was here and some friends, and one of the feline beings was walking, but it looked like they were gliding across the mm-hmm. field. And they turned and looked and stopped, and their eyes were bright light, golden light coming out of their eyes. And wow. Then they turned again and just kind of, it's kind of like a walk float type of thing. They weren't really.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Totally blew their minds. You know, a few people there had never seen anything like that before. And they go, what is that? You know, it's just like.
It's interesting because once you meet a being like that, their frequency will activate your past lives or the frequency within you. So it's like a total, your ranch is probably a total activation for people too as well.
It is. That's what happens when we do counseling work, when we do transpersonal release sessions, we take a person and we clear out any past life trauma, any entities that are hooked into their energy. And then we go into the beneficial lives. And what I find out, there's this trifecta that keeps happening here where people are Pleiadian, Orion, and Sirian, or the feline beings. They're also from Lyra as well. And that trifecta keeps popping up over and over again. And then there's a lot of people that have incarnated, come in from the inner earth, and they're like elven beings. And the mountain itself has three levels to it. It's a galactic airport on one level. The next level is extreme technology that's actually holding the grid together. And then the bottom level is the inner earth people, which are a multitude of different beings down there. And then
do you ever see ships go in and out the mountain?
Yeah, we filmed it actually. Okay. And these beings come out and they walk all around the mountain. And when we film them, we use super high-tech stuff like military, thermal, night vision, just high-tech. We've had some guy came in and had $150,000 worth of gear. Amazing. And when he left, he said, I have more questions than I have answers. He said that he said the light is not human. There's no structure to it. It's cold light. It's intelligent. It's moving all over the mountain. Doors are opening. Things are coming out of the doors. And then when John Vivanco and other remote viewers have come here, they've totally validated everything I've been saying about who they are, which groups what, and their ships. And we have them landing on the mountain and morphing into quite a few different ships and back to one again and interacting with us. And so we've got incredible footage of things coming in and out and landing on the mountain.
It's interesting when you look at stuff from a different density or a different dimension, the light looks different. So I know what that guy's talking about. It's not like a man-made light, or it's completely different, like tons of different shades, different colors that aren't natural to this plane.
Exactly.
It's very cool. Yeah.
I come out with a laser and I knock on the door. It's really funny. And they go, nothing's happened. I go, did you knock on the door? And they go, no. And I go, knock, knock. And all of a sudden, boom, this huge light opens up. And I said, those are the 60 elven beings, you know, they operate the doors. They're the ones in charge of the doors. And I said, if you talk to them and meditate on it, and they'll, you know, and when you go there to remote view it, always ask permission.
Yeah.
Because if you don't go there with the right intent, you won't say anything. You won't even get in. So you have to go with the right intent and ask, you know, do it with an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, or you're not going to see, you're not going to get in.
Yeah, they can cloak. They can probably cloak. They have the technology to cloak themselves too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Or you won't see anything, or they'll reflect back to you what you want to see.
Yeah.
And so if you want to see a bunch of reptiles, that's what you're going to see. You know, it's like it's kind of funny. But we're hitting the 5-minute mark. So I wanted to, God, I mean, we could go on forever about this. We didn't really get into too much detail about the different groups and their agendas. We'll have to get you back on the show so we can talk more about that. But what is the best way for people to contact you?
My website, meganrosemedium.com, has my email on there. And so I do personal readings, but I'm taking a break from that. There is a wait list on my website, but I'm still offering remote viewing if you have missing persons or missing pets cases. I can help you with that. And my YouTube channel, Megan Rose Medium, on YouTube too as well. So
we'll have to have you remote view the mountain and come back on and see what.
I could. That's a good idea.
Yeah, get a group or just do it yourself, either way. But there's so much going on. But you know, it's awesome talking with you. I can't wait to get you back on the show again.
We all feel
like one big family here, and we'll have to continue with the information. And thank you so much for the work you're doing and getting this information out.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, folks, unfortunately, we got to sign off. We're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also East Eddy Stargate. Have a great evening. And don't forget, keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and things will unfold. And don't project and blame. Just own your stuff, let it go, and get on with it. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.